Thank you, Scott, for working hard to memorize that passage, and I hope that a number of you are working towards memorizing that passage of Scripture. That particular passage, Mark 1:17-18, is the verse that I'm encouraging you to memorize during this month of January. And throughout this year to come, we're going to have a verse or a couple of verses, depending on the passage itself, for each month. And they will all have to do with this theme of following Jesus. And so I hope that you will take that challenge seriously. Think about it. If you would take that challenge, by the end of 2022, you could have 12 passages of Scripture in your mind and heart that would help you in your walk with Jesus and following Him. Now, some of you may have some of those verses already in your heart and mind. And that would be simply reminding you of what you already know. Some of these passages that we will encourage you to memorize will be brand new to you. Could I ask this question? What is the benefit of memorizing God's Word? One benefit is it helps you in your battle against Satan. Do you remember how Jesus fought off the devil in the wilderness? It was by the memorized Word of God. Satan tempted him to turn the stones into bread, and Jesus quoted Scripture back to that devil from the book of Deuteronomy. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Satan then took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here, and the angels of God will pick you up and not allow you to strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." There was a third temptation that Satan threw it at Jesus. He took Jesus up onto a high mountain and said to him, "If you will bow down to me and worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God only, and him shall you serve." And then he told the devil to get out. He said, "Be gone, Satan. You and I can send the devil on the run if we have the Word of God in our heart." Let that sink in for a moment. You and I can send the devil on the run if we have the Word of God hidden in our heart. Psalms 119:11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Do you want to have victory in your life over temptation? Then seek to memorize the Word of God, and that will help you have victory. Now remember my question. What is the benefit of memorizing God's Word? One, it helps us in our battle against Satan, and a second benefit to memorizing the Word of God is simply this. As you put the Word of God into your mind, you begin to think the way He thinks. Romans 12:2 talks about us having a renewed mind. It says, "Do not be conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And this is one way that we renew our minds. We fill our minds up with the truth of God. If we put into our minds primarily the message of the world, then guess what? We're going to start thinking like the world thinks. But if we will put into our minds the Word of God, then we will start thinking the way He thinks. This is how our minds are renewed. It's not the only way that our minds are renewed, but certainly it is a prominent way in which our minds can be renewed. As we put the truth of God into our minds, the Scripture says the truth will set you free. And we will begin to see things from His perspective. If you have a world mindset, then what's said here on a Sunday morning is likely to be offensive to you. But if you have God's mind, if you have His Word renewing your mind, then what is said here on a Sunday morning is going to be something that you grab hold of, and it will encourage you and it will help you. It will help you be like Him. I want to get to the message for today. My theme for today's message is, follow me and I will show you how to love. Now, my daughter, Rebecca, told me as I let her look at my preaching schedule for 2022, and she said, Dad, I really think this message that you're planning to preach here in early January on love, you should hold off on that passage or that message and preach it Valentine's weekend. Well, as you can tell, I didn't listen to her. Because I couldn't wait. I wanted to preach this message early on in this series. And so I'm encouraging you to have this mindset. Hey, this is a pre-Valentine's message, okay? It's going to teach me how to love. And we need to know how to love. And we need more than just a sermon to teach us how to love. We need a demonstration so that we can know how to love. And Jesus is the demonstration. Jesus is saying, if you will follow me, I will teach you how to love. He was perfect in His love. First of all, His love was unbiased. I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago that I've joined up with this reading group that is reading through the New Testament in 90 days. And so we're right on track. Last night I finished the book of Luke. So up to these 23 days in January, this group, and of which I am a part, we've read through Matthew's gospel, we've read through Mark's gospel, and now we've read through Luke's gospel. Those are called the synoptic gospels, and that word synoptic is simply meaning they're very similar to each other. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very similar in their content. And you know what I've noticed in reading those three Gospels? I've noticed that Jesus loved everyone. And maybe you recall one of the accusations that was brought against Him by the Pharisees. They asked His disciples, "Why is your teacher such a friend of tax collectors and what? Sinners. How is it that He's hanging out with these people who are so full of sin? How is it that He spends so much of His time with these people who are sinners?" And you can sense the disdain in their voices and their disposition as they ask this question. This was disgusting to them. These were the scum of the people kind of earth in the Pharisees' mind. Now, obviously, Jesus didn't see them as that, but that's how the Pharisees saw them. They're the scum of the earth. These people why would Jesus take time to be with these kinds of people? They're sinners. And the Pharisees considered themselves so much better than these folks. They couldn't stoop so low to love these kinds of people, but Jesus could. Jesus valued these people. They were worth his time and attention. They needed salvation just like everybody else did. And oftentimes these people, they were more open to the message because they knew they needed help. They knew that they were in despair and there had to be something more in life than this rut that they were living in. And so Jesus was giving that to them. He was giving them hope and grace and love and purpose. And I'm just, as I was preparing this message, I'm thinking, I'm so glad that Jesus was a friend to sinners. Amen? Because that means he's our friend. And his arms are open to us because we are sinful people, and without him we would have no hope. We are lost without him, but praise the Lord, he has reached down and he has had mercy on us. He has rescued us from the miry clay of sin. If you follow the footsteps of Jesus through the Gospels, you see him loving all kinds of people who were unlovable in his day. He loved the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4. He loved the man with leprosy in Matthew chapter 8. In fact, he reached out. You remember? He touched that man who had leprosy. Touching a leper was unthinkable. Instead, the norm was to drive them away. And if they got too close to you, you reached down and you picked up rocks and you threw it at them. But Jesus wasn't the norm. Jesus loved him. I want you to watch this. In fact, I think we've seen this once before. I've shown it to you, but it's worth seeing numerous times again because it teaches us the love of Jesus for those who were the outcast of the day.
Day or anything, huh? Come on.
It's a leper. Stay back. Cover your mouth. Don't breathe his air.
Don't come any closer.
It's okay, John. It's okay.
Rabbi,
you cannot. His disease, you can't.
Please. Please. Please don't turn away from me.
I won't.
Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Only if you want to, I submit to you. My sister, she was a servant at the wedding. She told me what you can do. I know you can heal me if you are willing.
I knew it. What can I ever do?
No. Do not say anything to anyone.
You don't seek your own honor?
Please just do me this one thing.
But what do I tell people?
Go, Show yourself to the priest. Let them inspect you and see that you are cleansed. Make the proper offering in the temple as Moses commanded. And go on your way.
Who has an extra tunic? Just one of you. That's enough. Green is definitely your color. Not too shabby.
Hey, it's Dallas from the creator of The Chosen, and if you like
it, he reached out and touched him. I wonder how long it had been since that man had been touched by anybody. Because when a person got leprosy in that day, they had to separate themselves. They had to isolate themselves from everybody, including their own family. And they were the literal outcasts of society. As I said earlier, if they got too close to somebody, they'd have rocks thrown at them. And then for Jesus to touch him and heal him. His love was unbiased. He loved the likes of people like Matthew and Zacchaeus. He loved the woman with the flow of blood. Do you remember that story? And to everybody else, she was unclean. She was despicable. To Jesus, she was a child of Abraham who needed healing. He loved the blind man, Bartimaeus. Maybe you remember that story. As Jesus was passing through Jericho, Bartimaeus was sitting along the side of the road, and he could hear the commotion going on around him of a crowd, and he didn't know that Jesus was passing by. And so he says, "Hey, what's going on?" He gets somebody's attention, and he, what's going on? And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing through." Do you remember? Bartimaeus said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Shh, 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 shh. He doesn't have time for you. Be quiet, Bartimaeus. Shh. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped. He heard Bartimaeus, and he called for Bartimaeus to come to him. And as he came, he said, "What would you have me to do for you?" I want to see. "Your faith has made you well." He was totally unbiased in his love to other people. And I think he's saying to us still today, "Follow me and I will show you how to love." It's easy to love those who love us, isn't it? It's easy to love those who are like us. What will really be a witness to the world is when we love those who are different than us, when we love people who are strangers to us. Let me give you a challenge. When we have a dinner here at church, don't just huddle up with those people that you are most comfortable with. Instead, sit down with someone that you don't know so well and get to know them. When you see someone come in the door that's new, welcome them. Invite them to sit with you. Learn their name. Learn their story. Jesus calls us to love like he loved. I think I've told you about Billy in Colorado from several years ago. He became our son's landlord for about 3 years. If I had judged Billy by his appearance, I would have missed out on one of the great blessings of my life. Billy had hair down to here. And I have to tell you, I grew up in a household where that wasn't acceptable. I'm not bashing my dad, but I mean, he was pretty quick to judge a person who had hair down to here. And so I grew up with that. It's easy to walk in those footsteps. But as the old saying goes, you can't always judge a book by its cover. And when I saw Billy, at first I was going, whoa. But as I got to know Billy, I came to know a fellow who had a heart for Jesus. He had a heart of gold, and he had a heart for Jesus. And probably, if it weren't for Billy, our son Jonathan's faith would have gone by the wayside. Billy ended up being a savior for Jonathan at that time in his life. He took Jonathan underneath his wing and helped him spiritually. And during that time, Jonathan's faith became his own. It was no longer just underneath our umbrella of faith. He decided that it needed to become his faith. And I don't know that that would have happened had it not been for this long-haired hippie named Billy. And I will forever in my life be grateful to Billy. We need to love as Jesus loved. His love was unbiased. His love was unconditional. And by that I mean his love wasn't based on what he could get back from people. No, most of the people that Jesus loved, they couldn't give anything back to him in return other than their devotion. And that's really all he wanted. That's all he wants still today. He wants our whole heart. I mean, what can we give to him? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's the one who has created the whole world. Psalms 24 says the whole earth is his. What could we ever give in return to him that he doesn't already have? The only thing he's seeking from us is our heart. He's seeking our devotion. As far as the leper couldn't give any payment back to Jesus. Bartimaeus, the blind man, he could do nothing in return for Jesus other than to be grateful. And that's all Jesus wanted. 2 weeks ago, there was a group of people from our church who went into somebody's house and cleaned it. Every nick and cranny of that house, there was somebody who was giving care to it. From the walls to the floors, to the bathroom, to the windows, to the oven. I mean, every part of that house received attention. And it actually turned out being a fun thing to do, working together, all to God's glory for someone who was in need. And we didn't do it to get anything in return from that person. It was just unconditional love. And that's the way love should be. As we were getting close to being finished with the house that day, the cleaning of that house, I said to the group, hey, we have one more house to clean today. And they all looked at me like, we do? We didn't know there were two houses. We thought there were just one. And I said, yeah, there's one more house to clean, 1990 Maple Road. It's my house. And when they figured out I was talking about my house, they were totally unagreeable to that. Their sacrificial or their unconditional love went only so far. But I'm telling you, there are opportunities all around us to love people unconditionally. I remember one time, this was several years ago, I don't know, probably 8, 9, 10 years ago, that Cindy and I invited this lady in Fort Scott out to eat after a Sunday morning church service. Her name was Connie. And some of you here that have been around us for years, you'll know who I was talking about. Connie, you know Connie. And I to be honest, Connie could be very annoying. But we were going to go out to eat that day, and the Lord just kind of laid it on my heart that we should invite Connie to go with us out to eat. And when I asked her, would you like to go out and eat with us today, you should have seen the look on her face. It was like, are you talking to me? Well, yeah. And so it happened to be that we took her to a buffet line that day. Across the street at this particular time, the college was serving a buffet line of food, and the Christians on campus were selling tickets to the buffet, and if you bought a ticket from them, then they would get a portion of the money. And so we were really trying to do a service to the campus Christians there, helping that group and getting a lunch ourselves. We bought a ticket for Connie to go with us. She'd never been through a buffet line before. She was going back getting to-go boxes filled up for her meals to come for the week. And we were saying, Connie, not supposed to do that. Would you get me one, Connie? She was sitting there at the table. I mean, she was enjoying that food. And she said, you know, nobody's ever invited me out to eat before. And I thought, wow, I'm glad we did that day. Because really, it was a blessing to us, because we knew in our hearts it's what Jesus would do. That's exactly what Jesus would do. And Connie ended up being a blessing for us that day. Our love should be unbiased. Our love should be unconditional. And thirdly, Jesus' love, our love, should be sacrificial. Let me read to you from 1 John 3:16. Now, all of us know what John 3:16 says. Do you know what 1 John 3:16 says? Let me read it to you. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. True love is sacrificial love. And Jesus showed us what sacrificial love is as he went to the cross for our sins. He gave up himself for us. And then he told his disciples that they should be loving as he loved. Let me read to you John 13, verses 34 and 35. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I want to show you a picture. This is the Atacama Desert in Chile. I should have looked up to see for sure if that's the correct pronunciation, Atacama, A-T-A-C-A-M-A. It's the driest desert on earth. In fact, when space programs want to practice for what life is like on Mars, this is where they go. They go to this desert in Chile, South America. It looks dry and dead on the surface. But actually, underneath the surface, there are millions and millions of seeds waiting to grow that just don't have enough water to make them sprout. And we know this to be true because back in 2015, there was what was called a super bloom, and the Atacama Desert received 12 years worth of rain in 7 hours. And I want you to see what happened. Wow. Amazing. And when I saw the contrast between those two pictures, this is what came to my mind. When we pour out the love of Jesus onto dry souls, it can cause even the desert to bloom. I pray that we will follow Jesus so that he can show us how to love. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us to love as you loved, and that you gave your Son, Jesus, to die for us, and he came here and he showed us how to love. He showed us the Father. He showed us really what it means to love the unlovable. And as he touched people and healed people and accepted them, they were like deserts that came to life and bloomed. And so help us, God, please, to love like you loved. In Jesus' name, amen.